Blog Talk Radio.
Looking at pages and pages of inventions, cures, and creations listed on the website www.blackinventions.org gave me goosebumps. To think that my people, African Americans, ignored their oppressed conditions to create some of the greatest inventions this country has ever known is simply miraculous. The player piano, the fountain pen, the golf tee, the doorknob, and the gas mask, all handiwork of black people. And let's not forget the countless inventions and patents of Dr. George Washington Carver. Simply astounding. On today's show, we'll explore the countless innovations of a people brought to the shores of America in chains, only to rise above their circumstances with creativity and talent so abundant in the black community. If you want some inspiration so that you can discover your own personal levels of innovation, today's show is for you. This is Carol Copeland Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland Thomas. Thank you so much for listening. Just remember, spring is around the corner wherever you happen to be. If you're certainly in the northern part of the hemisphere, spring is around the corner. It'll be here before you know it. We just have to keep hope alive from that perspective. Before I talk about the excitement that I have when I look over, you should see my table. I just have pages and pages of black inventors that we're going to talk about today. Some of their triumphs and tragedies and struggles, what they did to create what we just take for granted. We're going to talk about that in a few minutes. But I'm still on a high when I think about the February 11th Black History Breakfast that was so well supported. It was a sold-out crowd, and we had wonderful, wonderful participants. We had wonderful honorees, our great speaker, Beth Williams, who was president and CEO of Roxbury Technology. And if you look at my website, I am actually featuring our awardees who are all entrepreneurs because the entire breakfast focused on entrepreneurs, and I also have the biographical profile of Beth Williams. So if you go to tellcarol.com, T-E-L-L-C-A-R-O-L-E, with the blog section, you'll see a number of blogs where I talk about the honorees, Pat Bonner Duvall, John Aki Duvall, Ron Walker, Beth Williams, who was our keynote speaker, and Leonard Eagleton and Clarissa Cropper. So you'll see them in various blog postings, and we're also going to repeat it. We'll have pictures at our other website, mssconnect.com. Both websites are linked, so if you get to one, you'll be able to get to the other. But it was just a wonderful rendition and a wonderful outpouring of support and love and celebration. So I just say hats off to everyone who was a part of that great day. We certainly thank our lead sponsor, State Street Corporation. We'll be working with them throughout the year in a very exciting way. Our Pathfinder Plus sponsor, Blue Cross Blue Shield. Our partners that we've just worked with for a number of years, Commonwealth Compact and UMass Boston. I just love them to pieces and just thank them so much for what they've done. Very excited about the work that we'll be doing with Blue Cross Blue Shield and State Street over the next couple of months. And our Pathfinder sponsors, Partners Healthcare, Harvard Pilgrim Healthcare, and the Federal Reserve Bank, and also the National Fire Protection Association, a great organization that I'm learning an awful lot about. Table sponsors, thank you very much. We have Eastern Bank, Monster Worldwide, Lesley University, Colonnade Hotel, the Greater Boston Convention and Visitors Bureau, Roxbury Technology, Boston Medical Center, and Bethel AME Church. We can't thank you enough for all that you did for us. And our in-kind sponsors, Amtrak, and also the New Orleans Convention and Visitors Bureau. We had a great team that worked with us, Michelle Thomas, Denise Willis, Patricia Spence, Audrey Jones. Chef Lee provided all that delicious food, and our music was brought to us by Ramu and the crew. So again, I'm just reflecting on a great day, and I thank each and every one of you for helping and supporting our endeavors. We'll be back hopefully the first week in November with our multicultural conference. We'll give you more details about that in the weeks and months to come. That's going to be a very special event because we're hoping to bring over a very special speaker from England, from the United Kingdom, who will join us on that day. And then next year, February of 2015, we will have a dynamic Black History Breakfast for you. So stay tuned. We have lots of things to prepare for you and to have in front of you as part of the Multicultural Symposium Series, always looking at life from the glass half full and the glass where empowerment really belongs to each and every one of us. Well, let me talk about these lists that I have here on my table. I'm looking at a long list of inventors, people who sacrificed, people who had ideas where things just came to them. They put things together. In so many cases, we're Black people because of the kind of work that we did, lots of manual labor. We were at the bottom of the pole. We were the ones who had to do all the grunt work and all the important things to get things going. As a result of that, the innovations came. And I'm really doing this show, and I want you to pass the show on to others. I know that many of you listen after the fact, but this is a show I would particularly like for you to share with young people. So often, young people are our future, obviously, but they have such innovation and such great ideas that we squander. We trash them. We put them down. We don't really provide the nurturing spirit for our young people to thrive. And so I'm hoping that you will think about some of these names that I'm going to throw around. You'll do your own research, and you will come up with reasons to have these conversations with young children as young as 5 years old. 4- and 5-year-olds typically form and shape their attitudes about life, and they do it as a result of the nurturing and the guidance that you give them as adults. So I would encourage you to talk to young people very young, look at their skills and mentor them so that they can become our future innovators. I have, as you know, a 5-year-old granddaughter and a 3-year-old almost 3-year-old granddaughter. They have different skill sets. The 5-year-old is a very good reader, and she reads anything. And so there are going to be ways for her to be shaped in that direction. The younger one is a little bit quieter, but very forceful and very good with her hands. So I'm looking at the mechanical abilities that she probably is going to have. So there, you can look at these traits very early on just by being observant, listening, and listening to the conversations that young people have with you and with each other so that they can become our innovators. This obviously is not just for Black people. We're obviously focusing on this because it is Black History Month. But these ideas, suggestions, and tips have benefited everybody, not just Black people, everybody. Case in point, I'm going to talk first of all about Dr. George Washington Carver, who many of you have heard about in the past. He was born a slave. We're not quite sure exactly when, but we think it's somewhere around January of 1864, right at the end of slavery. He lived until 1943, so he lived a nice long time. And he was one of the greatest scientists, botanists, educators, and inventors of our time. He was born probably into slavery in Missouri. He had an opportunity ultimately to go to school and became a professor at what was then Tuskegee Institute. And during that time, because of the agricultural issues in the South and the fact that so often crop rotation was not done, the soil became poor in some areas. I'm going to read this. This is from Wikipedia, but it just gives you the sense of how ingenious he was. His reputation really is based on his research into and promoting the alternative crops to cotton, such as peanuts and soybeans and sweet potatoes, which we now love, which added nutrition for farm families. He wanted the poor farmers in particular to grow alternative crops both as a source of their own food, so they would be self-sustaining, but also as a source of other products to improve their quality of life. As a result of his years of work, he was most popular for his 44 practical bulletins for farmers, which contained 105 food recipes using the peanut. When you think about the peanut, you can't help but think about George Washington Carver. He also developed and promoted about 100 products made from peanuts that were useful for the farm and for the home, including cosmetics and dyes and paints and plastics and gasoline and nitroglycerin. He won many awards, including the Spingarn Medal from the NAACP. And I think of him very fondly because my mother had a chance to hear him speak. Years ago, my mother's passed on, but she was born in 1917. So as a young child, she heard Dr. George Washington Carver in one of the meetings that probably her parents, my grandfather was a prominent minister, so they probably invited him up to speak. And she remembers that he had a very light voice, very profound voice, but a very, very light spoken voice. And so that is my memory of my mother's memory of Dr. George Washington Carver. He had at least three patents, and one of the patents was for an invention that he had created dealing with cosmetics. Another one was paint and stain processing, and then the process of producing paint. So, again, all from largely the peanut. Now, these are the patented inventions that he created from the peanut: insulated board, linoleum, mayonnaise, meal, metal polish, milk flakes, peanut butter. Think about the peanut butter that we eat today that my grandkids ate last week. A lot of that came as a result of his research and his inventions. Peanut hay, peanut ice cream, isn't that interesting? Axle grease, bleach, dyes, deodorants, sugar, varnishing cream, wood filler, and Worcestershire sauce. So again, what he did, he extracted the ingredients, he realized the chemical properties of the peanut, and they were used in these various inventions and products that we just take for granted, deodorant, et cetera. So again, look on the back, and when you think about peanut oil and how much peanut oil is used, you are largely looking at inventions and research that came from Dr. George Washington Carver, and just a brilliant, brilliant man. Died in 1943. Again, we're talking about people who were not millionaires. I talked about Madam C.J. Walker last week. She was a millionaire. And Mary Ellen Pleasant, who was out in California, she was a millionaire in the early 1800s. But these people were largely not millionaires. These were everyday people who had everyday jobs, and for whatever reason, they received visions. They understood things after sleeping and waking up, and many of them were mechanically, mathematically gifted, and they came up with just great inventions, such as the horse riding saddle was created by William D. Davis. I'm just going to read you these list of things, and then I encourage you to go to blackinventions.org or either africaninventions.org. It'll take you back to that same website, and then you can read the list of many, many African-Americans and the inventions that they created. You can also get this list there on 11-by-17-inch sheets for $10. It's pretty reasonable. And so you could have this list and you can post it on your bulletin boards or whatever so that others, and particularly young people, can see them. The golf tee was created by George F. Grant, and the thermal hair curlers were created by Solomon Harper. Now, we always attribute some of the hair straightening products to Madam C.J. Walker, but there were other people, including Solomon Harper and others, who created variations of curling irons, straightening products, etc., to help particularly black women and their hair. The kitchen table, responsibly largely by H.A. Jackson. And two items, the programmable remote control, which we know today was the invention in part or in full part by Joseph Jackson, and the video commander by Joseph Jackson. Now remember, think of scientists working in collaboration with other scientists. Think about the lead, those who take other people's information, research, and data, and they use it so that ultimately these products are in play. But the lead person, the lead innovator, are the ones that I am highlighting. The guitar, the modern-day guitar, Robert Fleming. The clothes dryer, G.T. Sampson. The dustpan, L.P. Ray. And one thing I'd love for you to do, and I've seen it on a sheet earlier, is if you get a list of these inventors, these black inventors, pick out the household products and think about your house without these products, if these people did not come and invent these wonderful items. The fountain pen, WB as in boy, Purvis. The hand stamp, WP Purvis. Again, many times they would create one product and other products after that. Frederick Jones is responsible for the defroster, the air conditioning unit, the two-cycle gas engine, the internal combustion engine, the starter generator, and the refrigeration controls, all by one black man. And bottle caps were invented by Jones and Long. The electric lamp by Lewis Latimer and Nichols. And I've heard lots of things about Lewis Latimer and how important he was. Window cleaner by A. And other items, including the mop by T.W. Stewart. And let me share with you a couple of women, sister girlfriends, should I say, who are also great inventors. We have the lens holder accessory by Louise Andrews, and that is a patent that is pending. It hasn't come through yet, but it's something that she has created. The ear clip was created by Carol Randall, and the patent date, these are all patented products, by November 17, 1981. So these are all recent items. The embroidered fruit bowl wall by Beatrice Cowens and Virginia Hall. And it should be the wall hanging and kit. I'll repeat that, the embroidered fruit bowl wall hanging, April 5th, 1977. That sounds like something for embroidery, and that is a patent that they have come up with. Also, the sanitary belt, and the sanitary belt with moisture-proof napkin pocket was invented by Mary Kenner, and it was patented on April 14th, 1959. So again, many of these inventors, there was a need. There was a need in the household. There was a need in the community. Somebody needed to have these products, and they were created and thought up. And smartly, they got patents on them as well. We also have Mary Spiro. Gosh, she's got several patents, including the method and apparatus for high-grade data, rate satellite transmission, very technical items, data for content evaluation, method for displays or distributions of multiple versions, all created by Mary Spiro, and her patents go from October 30th of 2003 all the way down to, again, I believe it's the end of 2003 as well. So we also have Carol Randall, who, in addition to the ear clip, created the tissue tote, and that was patented on November 20th, 1990. Let me read a couple of more to you. And again, the incentive is for you to go look up these individuals and see if you can find out more information about why these items were done on their behalf. Also, I'll read you Sarah Boone, invented the ironing board, and it was patented on April 26, 1892. Just think about all the domestic service that's been done by people of color, and black people in particular. Well, they were working in kitchens, they were working in basements. They were working in boiler rooms. They were taking care of children. They were the infrastructure in households, in buildings, in communities. So they saw when things needed to be improved, and they improved on it, and things got better, such as Judy Reed, who came up with an improvement in dough, kneader, and roller, and actually got a patent on September 20th, 1884. And then we have, as I talked about last week, Madam C.J. Walker, the hair care product with straightening comb, and her patent, we only have 1905. We don't have a date for that, but the rest is history in terms of how successful she was. And then Patricia Edmonds came up with an apparatus and method for distinguishing paper articles from plastic articles. How technical and complicated is that? And her patent was issued on October 16, 2001. I could go on, but the list is very long about black inventors and what they have done and how they have contributed to our households and to our communities. One sister I wanted to close with in terms of this list of how important these inventors are is Henrietta Bradbury. You probably have never heard of her. She was a housewife during the 1940s. And even as a housewife, she received two patents. So the thought to you and the challenge to you is you don't have to be employed for a 9-to-5 company. You don't have to have a big job. You don't have to have a whole lot of education. You just have to have an idea. You just have something that can help other people or help your household. And put your thoughts together, document everything, go online and follow the process for actually applying for a patent from the U.S. Patent Office. It'll cost you some money, you know, a couple hundred dollars. You'll probably have to hire a patent attorney. But if you have a good idea, something that can benefit humanity, benefit your society, it really is in your best interest to find a way to come up with ideas, goods, products, and services that can help the community and get a patent on it. So this is what Henrietta Bradbury did. She was a housewife, as I mentioned earlier. And in May 1943, she patented a bed rack that provided the space to hang shirt, trousers, and other clothing worn so that they could breathe after being worn. Just a simple idea. She came up with a device, and she got a patent on it. Then in December of 1945, Mrs. Bradbury designed a waterproof, pneumatically operated way to fire torpedoes underwater from either undersea installations or submarines. Wow. Amazing. And her comments earlier I read online was that she was a housewife. She had time to perfect these items. They worked. She was able to get a patent on them, and that's why they went forward. The unfortunate thing is that because she was born in 1943, and these items, clearly she didn't have the opportunity for whatever reason, did not have the opportunity to find a manufacturer. These were items that largely were lost, but probably picked up in other areas by other people, and unfortunately, she didn't get the credit on it. Before her death on May 17, 1979, Mrs. Bradbury, in an interview, told her that her ideas had just come to her. They just came. And as a housewife, she had time to work out the concepts to perfection and to the satisfaction of the patent office. She made numerous attempts through the effort and support of her patent attorney to find manufacturers or buyers for her patent rights, but unfortunately, it never occurred. She became disenchanted, and she abandoned all those efforts to gain economic benefit from her extraordinary talent before she passed away. And the sad thing, again, I'm thinking about so many others where they either did or didn't have a patent and didn't have a chance to celebrate and leverage all those great ideas so they could economically benefit from it. Those ideas have been picked up by other people, other inventors, so that they are now benefiting from it. They get the credit more so than someone like Henrietta Bradbury, who was way before her time. So I'm just hoping that this show will inspire you, to find your talents, your sources of innovation. I think far too often, because we're so scheduled, we have so many rules and regulations, and so often with black people in particular, we feel that when we have successful jobs or when we have jobs that are bringing in that paycheck every week, that's great. But that may not be the final stop for you. It may not be the final stop for you. It may just be a stop along the journey of life for you. There are probably ideas and suggestions and tips and things that come to you from time to time when you see when things don't operate perfectly or when they can be improved, and you have the idea to resolve it. It's very similar to the fact that I have books inside my head and now I'm writing books. It's one thing to have ideas. It's another thing to execute your ideas. And the one thing about these black inventors who went all the way and got patents on their ideas, these people that I have talked about and given you information, all of them have had patents. That's why I read you these books. And I have many, many more. They're black engineers, railroad system individuals. I don't have time to read that. Firefighting, just a whole list of people. Garrett Morgan, the breathing device, his patent number is listed here, created March 24th, 1914. We have other people, Granville Woods, the telephone transmitter. Telephone transmitter, patent in December of 1884. An apparatus for transmitting of messages by electricity. He also has a patent for that, April 7, 1885. I mean, the list is long in terms of black people and the ways that they have created opportunities and solved problems, because all these inventions solve problems, not just for black people, for everybody. Everybody uses a fountain pen. Everybody uses a mop and a dustpan. Everybody uses some of these mechanical devices, or we ride on trains that use these mechanical devices. We're all a part of this equation. So it's not just black inventors and what they've done for black people. It's what black people have done for the world, not just America, but for the world. And that's what's so exciting. I get excited when I look at this long, long list of inventors, innovators, people who had just hard knocks, they had problems, they struggled, but they found a way. So if you are listening to this show, and if you're going to share this show with others, the question is, where are you in life? What is in your head that needs to come out? If you have a great job, congratulations. But is that the end of the line for you, even if you're in your 50s or your 60s? Because many of these inventors were well up in age when they finally got the money together to actually have a patent and pay a patent attorney. It took them a long time to do this. But the question for you, as we close out Black History Month, what are you going to leave behind as your legacy? And how can that legacy not only help black people, but help people in the United States and all the other 199 countries in the world? These black inventors and their stories are just amazing. I mean, they would make Oscar-winning movies in many cases. We're going to watch the Oscars on Sunday. And when you look at their stories and how they overcame so many of their obstacles, it is thrilling to see what they contributed, what they left behind, and the legacy that we now enjoy because of their creativity and talent, not squandered, but shared with the world. Thank you so much for listening. Happy Black History Month. Have a great week or weekend. We'll be back next time with a new exciting show. Take care now.